Hello and welcome to Korean Context, a behind-the-scenes conversation with the scholars, artists, and opinion makers who bridge our two worlds. This podcast was brought to you by the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C. I'm Martha Legutsky, and I'll be your host today. On a chilly March day in Frederick, Maryland, 24 bright and promising minds congregated at a remote hotel. They were experts in every field imaginable, spanning from lawyers, CEOs and professors, to officers in the UN, FBI, and a renowned movie director. None knew fully what to expect, yet all of them knew that despite this, there was no turning back now. They were given one task, 6 months, and a single option: to succeed or not. So who were the members of this elite clan? What was their mission? And did they succeed?
Whoa!
It's like Joe Namath!
Welcome to NetCal. Now in its fifth year, called Class 5, NetCal, or the Network of Korean American Leaders, is a selection of 24 Korean Americans who, despite being relatively early in their careers, have already achieved tremendous success in both their personal and professional lives. As I mentioned in the introduction, NetCal participants come from all angles, and I mean that geographically as well as in areas of expertise. This year's group convened up and down the East Coast, splitting its time between New York City and Washington, D.C. Its participants, however, hail from all corners of the United States and even from as far as London. The group has spent 1 weekend a month for the past 6 months working with corporate coaches, civic leaders, business executives, and professors at the USC Business School. Their focus throughout these sessions was directed toward developing their leadership and refining communication skills. In addition to the workshops and seminars, the participants this year competed against one another in a challenge called LEAP, about which we'll hear more in just a few minutes. Let's hear a few words from Angela Kaloran, Associate Director of NetCal. She's been working on the NetCal program since its inception in 2006 and was indeed involved in all of the brainstorming and development that got this idea off the ground in the first place.
Not to give ourselves too much credit, but we did start off with quite an audacious goal. We were sitting in a tiny office in a school of social work and in academia, with neither Dr. Lee nor I having any concrete ties to Korean American community, anything. We were both new to Los Angeles. We didn't know anybody. But we sat there and said, you know, if we create, we know that there are just some amazing Korean Americans out there, especially this younger generation, the second generation with such unlimited potential. If we can create this, a true network, meaning it's kind of responsive and reactive and flexible, we could actually maybe even begin to affect not just the Korean-American community, but U.S.-Korea relations. So we kind of had this very giant vision. I'm not sure why or why we even thought that that was possible. But in that way, I think there's been a continued advance towards this goal. And the most exciting thing is really starting to see the possibility. It's not just rhetoric, but now it seems to, you know, things are falling into place. And people go, oh, you guys are so great to do this, and, you know, what an opportune time. And, I will be the first to admit, I think we were very lucky. There was a general kind of sea change happening, and we happened to be riding along with it, I feel like.
Here to speak with us about his experience is Dr. Abraham Kim, KEI's own vice president, who's also a senior advisor to this year's NetCal program, as well as the principal organizer of the LEAP competition. Would you please tell me a little bit about the fellowship program itself?
The fellowship program is a six-month program. Each month, 24 fellows take 1 weekend out of their month to get together. In this case, this year, there was three classes in Washington, D.C., and three classes in New York City, where they would come together for a type of executive training. And some weekends, they were instructed by a USC Business School professor, and they taught them about presentation skills and personal branding issues and so forth. And other weekends, they were instructed by business leaders or civic leaders, and they talked about leadership in their own sectors or communities, and they had very interactive discussions about the issue of being Korean American and in mainstream America and what it means to be a leader in those communities as a leader.
How is this year NetCal 5 different from past years?
Well, this year, the unique aspect of this year's fellowship program was the community project aspect. In previous years, there were community projects, but they were more on a voluntary basis. This year, we took a different approach, and we actually took the community projects and made it into a competition. And rather than giving the fellows a choice, we gave them one topic or one issue that they had to develop a community project around. And we divided up the 24 fellows into three teams of eight, and they took the question of how do you empower the Korean American community? Empowerment by meaning political empowerment. And they were given the task to come up with the best project idea based around this question. And the winning team at the end would get $5,000 seed money as well as an opportunity to present their ideas at the upcoming 2010 NetCal Summit in September. So this became a very exciting program because, in a sense, when you get very ambitious, talented young Korean Americans and you give them a task and you put them in a competition, they get very involved and they spend a lot of time and their efforts. And we had some tremendous presentations this last August when they all presented.
So what Abraham is talking about here is LEAP, that's Leaders Empowered for Action Project. Three teams, the Sejong Cubs, the Dangun Eagles, and the Phoenix Elders, all competed with ideas for how to politically empower the Korean American community. With the $5,000 seed money, this isn't just about getting ideas out there and letting them sit. The winner of this competition actually gets to implement this idea and make it a reality. But NetCal is about more than just this project. It's about the current fellows and also the alumni. When you put those two components together, you have an amazing network of individuals who are leaders in their respective fields. They share a common interest in what it means to be Korean American and how to advance that community in a broader context. Let's meet some of the participants themselves. Here's Betty Chung.
I'm the Deputy Assistant General Counsel for Legislation and Policy at the U.S. Agency for International Development. I got involved with NetCal because a former NetCal alumni, he was in class four, is a good friend of mine, and he told me about, I actually knew him when he was in the NetCal class, and he told me about it. He was very excited about the program. And then when they were recruiting for NetCal 5, he thought I would enjoy the program, get a lot out of it, and encouraged me to apply.
At their last meeting, we caught a small group of current fellows and asked about their impressions now that the program was wrapping up. Here are Elliot Hahn, Eugene Yoon, and Kendra Lee.
It's unfortunate it's over now, but yeah. I'm sure we'll still keep in touch.
Try to think about issues a little bit more. I think I'm not actually too sad because I think we're going to be pretty busy going forward because we're going to actually win this thing. And so a little intimidated. But
Well, it's been a really unique opportunity, I think, for me to meet so many other Korean Americans from different fields. And I look forward to staying involved and with the community project. So it's been really fun.
Now for a little bit about the projects themselves. Here's Michael Kim of the team Dangun Eagles.
Well, in our group, the Dangun Eagles, we developed a program for a NetCal young fellows, meaning targeted college-age students who went through the application process, just like as a NetCal fellow would. But we gave them the opportunity to shadow NetCal fellows and also give them a day's workshop to give them a glimpse of, and in a sense be a role model for a day, to give them a sense of a direction, but also political empowerment. We defined political empowerment as a way to empower oneself to excel in their respective fields, but also give them an internship opportunity on the Hill to get to understand what the political process is about, but more importantly, also network with other individuals who may be in politics, but also just are outstanding leaders in their community. And at the end of the day, to be able to network with these folks and leverage that network to advance their causes, we determined was one way to political empowerment. That is how we interpreted it, and that was what a program addressed.
Now returning to Betty Chung, who'll describe the approach adopted by her team, the Sejong Cubs. The Sejong Cubs actually went ahead to win the overall leap competition. So in addition to winning $5,000 seed money to get their project started, they're also going to be presenting their idea at the NetCal Summit in Washington, D.C. this fall.
Well, I'm from Washington, D.C., so political empowerment to me means access to Capitol Hill, Congress, the decision makers in all policy and legal matters for this country. So I'm part of Sejong Cubs, and we decided that due to our definition that what we needed, I mean, access to the Hill, really, the first avenue is relationships. You need to build strong relationships with the power players in Washington, D.C. So our project is designed to develop those relationships and really reach out to key congressional members on the Hill, let them know what interests the Korean-American community have and what we would like to see happen, but also just build the relationship so that if something happens and we need access to power, immediate access to power, that we have friends on the Hill who know who we are and who understand that we have a political voice and we want to matter. We want to have a seat at the table, and we certainly don't right now.
Here's Randy Sim of the Phoenix Elders.
I don't know if it's really deep, but some of the issues that I personally had at the beginning was if the Korean community had a lot of issues. You know, I talk with people on the East and West Coast and in Chicago and the Texas area, and either Korean Americans don't want to be a problem, or maybe they don't know how to address them, and so they just kind of want to be like a silent minority, that if they don't cause a lot of problems and a lot of waves, that maybe, you know, things will be better for their community in the long run. So, you know, I personally had a hard time trying to grasp if any of this empowerment, you know, planning and thinking over was really necessary. If there were real issues that were specific to the Korean American community, or if it was just more general in the Asian American community. There's definitely a problem in terms of the Korean community having a voice. That's definitely been documented. So that's the project that our class wanted to take up in trying to create a national legislative lobbying day.
I'd like to explore the vision behind NetCal and also get a better sense of where this program is going in the future.
All this connection and equipping are great, but I think to a point where we as a real chosen and blessed ones as a part of this community, what can we do to bring our knowledge and our talents and our desire to the community, Korean American community and the greater community?
That's Jensen Ko, an alumnus of NetCal Class 4 and now an advisor to this year's class. Mr. Ko is co-chief operating officer of Tiger Asia Management, as well as the executive director of the Grace and Mercy Foundation.
So I think being mobilized to serve the needs of community, whether it be a political empowerment or speaking for the interest of those who are impacted by Korean-American relations and just greater issues, I think that's where the future of NetCal brightly shines, being able to serve the needs of those communities.
Chiming in with his take on the vision and future of NetCal is Stephen Suh, another NetCal advisor and a member of NetCal Class 4. Mr. Suh is a program examiner at the White House Office of Management and Budget.
I think the vision question for NetCal, at least from my perspective, is still being set. I don't know how other of my peers feel, but I think NetCal is growing organically, which I feel is a good thing, but I still think maybe one more class may be needed to kind of get that critical mass of fellows where you have enough kind of intellectual horsepower across all spectrums to really start doing, gripping vision casting. I would really like to see NetCal and the leaders it generates to help kind of promote a kind of a culture of giving. I think that's something the second generation maybe doesn't do as well as it can.
Just to clarify here, Mr. Su is referring to the second generation of Korean Americans in the United States.
And what I'm talking about is giving to causes, giving to campaigns, just this notion that I think we're now of age and we have the means, some people more than others, that being involved in the community also means putting our money where our mouth is. And so I think that's also an area that NetCal, hopefully through its leaders, could also kind of organically encourage and promote.
For the last few minutes of this episode, I'd like to shift over to the challenges facing the Korean American community and, by extension, NetCal itself. In his last clip, Mr. Seo referred to, quote, the second generation as a distinct entity within the Korean American population. It turns out that many people have noticed a fissure between older and younger Korean Americans, sometimes referred to as the generational divide. Let's hear again from Angela Kaloran with her take on the issue.
You know, one of the issues that the community has that we acknowledge and we talk about is a generational divide, a discrepancy of, you know, maybe even ideals and values between first generation, second generation, you know, going forward it'll be third generation, whatnot. I think it's an unresolved question. There's tension there. Some people are very much about throwing in the towel, like we're eventually they'll all be second generation, third generation, so let's just keep doing what we're doing. But I think that a real solution and a much better way to integrate has to be found. And the interesting thing, though, is that as we go forward, I find more second-generation Korean-Americans increasingly being able to speak Korean. And the language itself is such a bridge. And so maybe it'll resolve itself. I mean, when Korean-Americans first came to the U.S., they were so concerned about, you know, making sure that kids spoke English and were worried that they would never speak English well enough that they didn't encourage. And Korean was, why would you, you know, it's poor country, it's not useful, you know, just integrate here. Current generation does not do that. So like the current high school kids, college kids are a lot of them are much better at speaking Korean and English than I think many people in my generation are. So, you know, maybe it's a demographic thing, maybe we need to figure out an intentional change. All a long answer to say we don't really know. But it's something that needs to probably be addressed.
And now a few final thoughts from Jensen Ko.
I do feel personally that the NetCal has a role in reaching out to the other Korean American or Korean groups. I think, for example, what's interesting about NetCal is it has been one of the few organizations that really focused on the culture of Korean Americans and Koreans and being able to use that as a platform to bring people and to learn, appreciate what being Korean American is, and to use that best of that, along with the best of what we see in here in America, to really contribute. So, as part of that effort, I think it's very important for us to understand the stories of first generations, and in fact, that is our history in our life here in America. And I think capturing it will require working with them. And obviously, there is a lot of good things happening with the first generation organizations as well. I do see not let's say as a challenge, but as an opportunity to broaden it and to hear and have them be part of our partners in our efforts to contribute to the community.
And there you have it, NetCal 2010. Special thanks to Abraham Kim for his assistance with this episode. For more information about the NetCal program, as well as the podcast in general, please pay a visit to keia.podbean.com. As always, feel free to send any questions, comments, or suggested episode topics to podcast@keia.org. I'd love to hear from you, so please don't be shy. Well, that's all for now. Thanks so much for listening. It was a pleasure having you, and we look forward to seeing you next time on Korean Context. Bye!